Anyway, back to the whole greater than the sum of the parts. So in terms of preaching, yes, what can't Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do? But he likes to see devotees be glorified and to give the opportunity for devotees to actually fulfill his order. And therefore, he empowers them to do that. It may seem inconceivable, just like to us it may seem inconceivable. Of course, at one point it wasn't inconceivable. At one point in the history of the Krishna consciousness movement, we were taking over the world in about 2 to 3 weeks, a month at the most. And that was conceivable at that time. It was conceivable because Srila Prabhupada was here, so then anything was possible. And sometime later we discovered that we're still fallible, conditioned living entities, and that the reality was going to, it's still conceivable, it's just taking a little longer to make it happen. Therefore now the question is no longer a few months, but well, is this golden age taking 10,000 years, and when will we peak? And it may not be in 2 weeks, but we will, because if we work according to a particular formula that Srila Prabhupada gave us, and that formula was a formula of cooperation. And, you know, it's very interesting how, without getting into intra-institutional politics, how Srila Prabhupada, in one of his purports, I think in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he refers to his godbrothers, how they're, and I'm not going to quote the famous one, this is another one where he speaks nicely about them, where he says that they're all following Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's order, where they're preaching Krishna consciousness to the best of their ability, where they're following the principles. But we know the other ones is they're doing it all individually. And because they did it individually, therefore when you boiled all of that individual ability and Krishna consciousness down in terms of what they were actually meant to do, then it boiled down to being asara. And then, anyway, I won't get into that part. So that it wasn't effective, because despite the fact that they were extremely qualified individuals, they were from many of them Brahmin backgrounds, they were very well trained by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but they didn't do this thing, they didn't work together. In other words, they functioned as individuals, and they continued to function as individuals. Their maths continued to sort of break up bit by bit, because that's their parampara. The parampara is that it's based on the individual. An individual will start a new temple, and altogether it doesn't achieve what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted. It doesn't achieve this Prithivitriya Chiyatranagara Adigra. And that's really the challenge of our Krishna consciousness movement, because individuality is in one sense very easy. We have experience of that because we practice it regularly when we go to our temples or our zones. When you're an individual in your own place, you don't have to get along with anyone, especially if you're a leader, you just tell everyone what to do, so it's really easy. And then when you get on a peer level, or you even get in the presence of superiors, then it becomes much more difficult. And particularly amongst peers, this idea of cooperation, submission, and sometimes it looks like, hey, I can get a lot more done on my own. I don't need all these guys. It's better off, they just get in the way. You just do it your own way and get some results. But those results may be short-lived. And even if they're results, it's not the type of result that Srila Prabhupada wanted, not the type of result that our predecessor Acharyas wanted. They wanted the type of result that comes from that saying is there that, you know, the tide lifts, high tide lifts, the rising tide lifts meant all ships. They wanted that type of result. So sometimes even measuring things by result, and of course we've all historically seen that short-term results don't mean long-term success. that short-term result may end up later on in not so much success. And that really requires achintya shakti. In Kali Yuga, the very constitution of Kali means quarrel, disagreement, don't work together, do your own thing. And to actually have individuals work cooperatively and lift all the ships, which is what our society is meant to be doing, that really requires inconceivable potency. Is it possible? We haven't gone down that far down the road yet where the question's raised, does it actually work? My devotees have challenged different concepts that Srila Prabhupada's raised. Does cow protection work? Does Gurukula work? Farming communities work? Varnashrams, an archaic concept. We haven't yet heard, maybe it's out there, that actually Prabhupada's idea of GBC doesn't work. Better than everyone just go their own way. No doubt in time that idea will also come up, because that's Maya Devi's idea. Bring up all of these ideas sooner or later in people's minds. But it is possible. All we're conditioned souls, whatever we may be, but achintya shakti. It's possible to have the conditioned souls, or whoever, not conditioned souls, liberated souls. It's difficult for liberated souls to work together. But it is possible to do that, because Krishna can make anything conceivable. One example that is the head of Madhava Sampradaya, who is very favorable to Krishna consciousness movement and has visited Mayapur, amongst other places, on repeated occasions. And on one occasion when he was somehow I wasn't personally there, but I heard secondhand discussing this concept of devotees selling books on streets in Western countries and so on. And so he's an Acharya. Prabhupada actually wrote of him. He said, if there's any Brahmin, there are no Brahmins in Kali Yuga, but if there is one, you're one, you're it. And so this idea of devotees going on a regular basis out, standing in the middle of, anyway, Kali's courtyard, to sell books, he said, this is inconceivable. He said, if we had to do this, we would fall down. So, already the activities of devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement are already inconceivable in that sense. They're already inconceivable to a certain class of individuals. And certainly there are many other things that Srila Prabhupada asked from us that are also inconceivable to us, but they're possible. Because if we act in the proper way, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will empower devotees to do what he wanted, and this is what he did want. That much faith, I think that's still pretty much intact, that what Prabhupada said is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted. That's how he wanted Krishna consciousness movement spread. And it's possible, but it requires this cooperation. Srila Prabhupada mentioned this cooperative spirit of working together under all circumstances. And that cooperation means really a lot. Having faith in this, then I'll just explain for those of you who English isn't your mother tongue. It's almost not my mother tongue anymore. I'm having to search for words because I'm not in practice of speaking English. This saying that the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. It means that we're all here, there's 100 of us here, and we're 100 individuals, and we're also a temple full of devotees. The temple full of devotees is the whole, and 100 individuals is we're the 100 parts. So the saying is that if we act together as one common unit, as a whole, it has more power, there's more to it than just we act as 100 individuals. Because the power of the cooperative effort of 100 individuals working together is more than 100 individuals, even if they think they're doing the same thing. And of course, the best and commonly understood example of this is an army. If you have 100 squadron? Anyway, something. If you have 100 soldiers, and every one of them wants to fight the war their way, what happens? They all get lined up against the wall and shot. They get shot. Your desire may be good. You may have the same desire as the rest of the army. I'm fighting the war. I'm fighting it my way. But your way is going to cause the death of so many others. There's no such thing as fighting the war your way. There's only one way to fight the war, and that's whatever it's coming down from supreme command. And it's an army. We want armies to fight wars, not individuals. There are many interesting examples. I'm just trying to recall. Anyway, recently I was just somehow or another came across some things about Genghis Khan. And they were unbelievably effective, aside from being ruthless. They're unbelievably effective. And there was just one battle I read where there was something like 8,000 horde members versus an army of 80,000 scattered Europeans. And they just wiped them out, 8,000, 10 times the number. They just wiped them out because they were just so organized, so systematic in their attack. And ultimately, 80,000 people can't even get at 8 people. It's like 10 people can't even get around one person. So it speaks for the strength of the whole, how much more effective a whole is than so many individuals. And, well, Srila Prabhupada said of some of his godbrothers that left in his physical, when Prabhupada was physically, he said that they went back to Godhead. I'm saying that the price isn't that if you don't work together, you're going to get lined on the wall and shot by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But still, you won't get the glory. You still won't get the type of recognition, that Srila Prabhupada here is referring to, is that Krishna wants to glorify his servants. And to actually really be recognized as being actually obedient. Obedient and always. Obedient servants of the Lord's will and of Srila Prabhupada. So just to tie together here, we need to have faith in this Achinta Shakti, inconceivable potency. That if we serve Srila Prabhupada as he wanted us to serve, if we push on this Krishna consciousness movement, not as individuals, not even just as temples or as zones, but as a international society for Krishna consciousness, as one unit, and obviously do things the way Prabhupada wanted us to do in terms of chanting and sadhana and so many other instructions that Prabhupada gave, then Krishna consciousness, then we will succeed. We'll succeed where other more elevated, advanced devotees will fail. Either they fail by their admission or they just fail, period. It is possible because Krishna can make the impossible possible. In fact, that's one of Krishna's pastimes, is that he makes things that appear very impossible. He makes them possible. So I'll just stop here and just take questions just for a few minutes, just so we can get ready for prasadam. And just to remind everyone who is participating in the meetings that the meetings should start at 10 sharp, which would be good if everyone's there, 10 minutes to 10 sharp, which means that I have to leave in 3 minutes so that I can do my puja and things so that I can also leave. Narayan Kriti Ji.
I have a question. possible to cultivate both things at the same time? Like, this what you were speaking is kind of a separatistic mentality, and at the same time cultivating Krishna consciousness, chanting and preaching and other aspects of Krishna consciousness. So,
what was the first thing you said?
How can one cultivate both things? First thing is separatistic mentality.
Cultivate separatist mentality.
Yeah, that one wants to be in the center himself and wants to have his own thing and...
Or not cultivate it, or cultivate.
Cultivating both things together.
Oh, how's it possible?
How is it possible, yeah. And still, it looks like it can go on.
There's different types of devotional service. There's mixed devotional service, there's pure devotional service. So Kapila Dev says this type of I'm in the center is characteristic of devotional service in the modes of passion and ignorance. And then that type of devotional service where my Guru Maharaj wanted me to preach in the West, but I didn't think myself qualified. It's also possible. But the best devotional service, Sanyabhilashutashunyam, is what he says here. He says, I do whatever you say without restriction. You want me to go and suffer in your absence, then I'll go. Because I'm your servant. Because he's God also. Well, we shouldn't think we can do that. He broke it but then broke it. He came back to see him, but he kept to his preaching program and was very, very effective. And in fact, one of his wives, Janava Devi, she continued after his disappearance. She continued the preaching. She was the acharya of the Sampradaya. But they can do that because they are Ishwara. So Shukadeva Goswami says, Anishwara, if you're not an Ishwara, then don't try drinking poison like the Vachiva. So if you can drink poison and come out of it, then you can think about qualifying your guru's instructions. If you can't, then don't. Last one.
How should devotees who are very conscious and who are very intelligent and they are 100% sure they are right, but their opinion is different, how they should work together?
Achintya Shakti. We need that Achintya Shakti to reconcile these things. That it works, you mean? Yeah, I mean, for those of us are here, it's the evidence. And for those who aren't here, are the evidence that it can also not work if you don't. But if you have faith in it, and you have faith that it's got to work like this, because that may work, but it's not the whole formula. It's just sort of, you're doing something good, that's fine, but you've got to do it within this family and stay within this family and cooperate together. And then Srila Prabhupada, many, many letters where he's emphasizing this thing that it's euphoria to think that everyone's going to think the same and everyone's going to have the same idea. The actual thing is that, and you see, then he points out to the spiritual world. I was going to say no one bloops from the spiritual world, but I won't get into that. But at least the eternally liberated ones that are always there, they got nowhere to go. They're all in one place, and they have really strong opinions, divergent opinions about how to do things. And still, they find harmony, and that harmony is really in Krishna consciousness. Ultimately, Who harmonizes? How does everything get harmonized? You can only reconcile everything in Krishna. I think in third canto or fourth canto, Prithu Maharaj, there's this verses about how all of these contradictory qualities, contradictory potencies, become reconciled in Krishna. So ultimately, only in Krishna and only with Krishna's pleasure being the ultimate barometer of things can you achieve that type of reconciliation. And so he's got all these contradictory personalities. He's very submissive and he's very arrogant. So that means that both submissive and arrogant people can fit in Krishna consciousness if they work together and make Krishna and Prabhupada the center. Anyway, I guess there's a lot to be said, but someone else should continue it perhaps tomorrow. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Radha Gopinath ki jai, Nitai Gopinandi.